You know, a lot can change in 50 years. Robert Stakowitz says you can become a better person in that amount of time. Stakowitz was an inmate at work at an off-site prison job in Georgia when he just walked away, and he remained on the run for almost 50 years. But authorities found him in Connecticut last week, and they now want him to return to prison. He says he's too old and too ill to go back. Attorney Norm Pattis represents the 71-year-old Stakowitz, and he joins us now from Connecticut. Hi, Norm.
Hi, thanks for having me this morning.
There seems to be a couple arguments coming from Robert, and I want to address the first one. Here he is explaining how he got arrested and sentenced in the first place.
Met these two guys, and they said, let's go rob a house. You'd be the driver, because they didn't have a car. And I did. Mm-hmm. And it was the stupidest thing I ever did in my life, you know. There's no doubt about that. And when it came time to try me, they ran me right through there, like, took 15 minutes.
So the first argument seems to be that he felt the sentence didn't fit the crime in the beginning. Can you explain how that figures into his legal argument?
Well, it's not an argument we'll make to the Board of Pardons and Parole. There were three defendants. Two of them were sentenced to 17 years. Mr. Stakowitz was one. A third defendant was sentenced to 12. So clearly at the time, in the view of the sentencing authority, the time fit the crime. I think in retrospect, what Bob is trying to say is, look, the purposes of incarceration or the criminal sanction are rehabilitation, deterrence, punishment, protection of society. Judged by almost any of those standards, the 2 years he served satisfied that goal. And the proof is the 48 years he's lived since. He's been adequately deterred. He's had no further problems with the law. He's been rehabilitated. Again, no further problems with the law. He was punished. I think in terms of general deterrence and sending a message to others, we certainly understand Georgia's interest in vindicating respect for its laws. But we would turn to the health-related argument and ask the Board of Pardons to exercise its compassionate powers and commute the balance of his sentence.
So I want to play a comment from Robert Jones. He's the warden of the Carroll County Correctional Institution, and here he is speaking with CBS News.
The crime that he committed was a fairly serious crime, but I think if he's truly wanted to travel the straight and narrow road, that it's best to come back and try to handle these charges appropriately.
It sounds as though Georgia officials feel that the punishment part of that triangle you just mentioned has not been fully completed. That sounds to me, from what I've read in statements and from interviews, that they feel that they think Stakowitz still has time to serve.
Well, I hope that's not right. That sounds an awful lot like Inspector Javert from Les Mis in his lifelong pursuit of Jean Valjean.
Well, he was insane, people, Norm.
Well,
he went
and
crazy.
Sometimes the law is an ass, and sometimes the law is insane and crazy. And I would suggest that pursuing this man for 48 years when he has outrun his past, and in effect, and has become a different person, represents a view of the law that is not flattering.
What kind of legal precedent is there for this argument?
There isn't much of one. I can't think of a case in the United States where someone has been a fugitive for 50 years, half a century, and then brought back to face or serve the balance of his sentence. I can't think of one.
So what is the timeline from here, Norm? What happens now? He has a large bond, which I assume he's not able to come up with?
No, friends of his posted the bond for him, and he was released at midnight on Friday. So he's now at home. He's meeting with his doctors this week. On June 6th, we will appear in a Connecticut court in Danbury, where we will announce our intention to fight extradition on health-related grounds. He suffers from diabetes, congestive heart failure, circulatory problems, cancer of his bladder, skin lesions incident to water retention, and it's going to be very difficult to safely have him travel from one state to another. Once we announce our intention to fight extradition, then Georgia will have to do a governor's warrant from Governor Deal, which would ask of the Connecticut governor that he sign extradition papers and return Mr. Stakowitz to Georgia under the Interstate Compact.
And it would have to be Governor Deal who commuted his sentence in the end?
No, I don't believe so. Georgia is one of three states, and I didn't know this last week, but I've learned a little. Georgia is one of three states where in the commutation power is reposed in a board, in this case, the Board of Pardons and Parole. And so we are going to petition them, once we obtain medical confirmation of the conditions I've just mentioned, to commute the sentence or, in the alternative, to have him appear at a commutation hearing by way of video link.
That is attorney Norm Pattis. He represents formerly escaped Georgia inmate Robert Stakowitz, who was on the run for 48 years. Norm, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Norm Pattis says his client has been completely rehabilitated. Most inmates don't get that opportunity to argue that point from outside prison walls. And we wondered what rehabilitation actually means when it comes to the letter of the law. Tina Mashey of Fordham University School of Social Service joins us now to talk about this. Thanks for joining us, Tina.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Now, Norm Pattis, Stakowitz's lawyer, mentioned three things that are the purpose of imprisoning someone: rehabilitation, deterrence, and punishment. Are those legally codified?
Yes, they are. And also, I would add incapacitation to that, too.
What does that mean?
One of the factors is that someone is incapacitated, meaning that they're not in prison and able to be in the community. And what's interesting about that is that incapacitation, in the case of when people have medical issues, their ability to commit a crime is often void because they're not able to.
Because they're removed from the population.
Well, but also their health conditions.
I see. How does the cost of prison figure into it? And is that a legal argument? I mean, for example, at the most expensive place, it costs up to $60,000 per inmate per year to put someone in prison. Does that enter into calculations when they're deciding whether to send someone back to prison or not?
Yes, it does. And also, it sometimes is written in the laws. According to the policies at the State Board of Pardons and Paroles in Georgia, medical reprieve is an issue in which someone could be released. So this idea of the fact that there is rehabilitation in that Mr. Stakowitz has not committed another crime and actually has made significant contributions, it sounds like, to his community. And that's suggested by the work that he has done, helping neighbors, fixing their boats, and other various contributions he made to the community, but also the fact that he has support in his community of people who stand by him that would even post bail. So they're suggesting the confidence that other people have in that he's not going to commit a crime. On top of that, he has these health-related issues. But according to the Georgia, it's right on their webpage, too, where anyone can check that out, because I do think it's something that the people of Georgia need to consider, not just parole and probation and parole, but how do we want to deal with these issues? But it says that an inmate can be put on medical reprieve if medical staff recommends it and they balance the sufficiency of the punishment imposed to date with the cost of treating the person in prison and the humanity of allowing the offender to die outside the confines of prison. And so it sounds like from the little I know, but Mr. Stack with the details, but it sounds like he has serious health conditions that he, if he was inside, would be someone that would be considered for medical reprieve. And the cost is factored into it. So it seems as if from what his lawyer is arguing, that he meets the conditions of being rehabilitated, where he's actually in the community making a contribution, not committing crimes, and on top of that, the health conditions.
I think people are used to hearing about compassionate release. I mean, famously, Jack Kevorkian, the doctor who was an advocate for allowing people the right to die, was released after it was found that he had contracted hepatitis C. But what kind of conditions does someone have to fulfill? And I ask that because we got this tweet from Sam Burnham. He says, "I fear this sets a dangerous precedent that if you commit a violent crime, escape, and hide long enough, you're free." So what are the standards by which we say, okay, this person is sick enough legally that they can be released or not sent back to prison?
Yeah, and I do think that based on that tweet, we do have to take into account that people are going to have different views on it, and all those views need to be aired. Because if it sounds like someone can get away with committing a violent crime, is that right? So there's the black and white, being very lenient or being overly punishing. And where is somewhere that's midway that suggests that justice is served? That's
a great question. Do we have the answer to it?
And I think part of it is when that's where we have courts of laws, where we can hear and air both sides of the argument.
Okay, so then how has that argument played out in the past? When I asked Norm about legal precedent, he said, well, we've never had this situation before where somebody escapes.
And I agree with it. It's quite unusual because we're usually dealing with, in the report that we did on compassionate geriatric release, this is the assumption is that people are in prison.
Right.
And so this is a precedent. So literally, it could set a precedent about what we do when people are on the outside. Because what if somebody violated parole, they're out, and then they have a health condition, they violate parole, what do we do then?
Yeah, that's a great question. If you're just joining us, my guest is Fordham University professor Tina Mashey, and we're talking about escaped convict Robert Stakowitz, who was found in Connecticut, and Georgia authorities would like to send him back to serve out the rest of his sentence. He says he thinks he has been rehabilitated and should remain free. So I want to get into these limits of rehabilitation and what the law says about what rehabilitation actually means. What does the Department of Justice mean when they say that someone has or has not been rehabilitated?
Well, someone that commits a crime again, obviously, is someone that has not been rehabilitated, but because most of what they're looking for is a person not to recidivate, to commit a crime again. So that's the major decision. Are you a law-abiding citizen?
And that's the whole, but because you also mentioned other things like being nice to your neighbors. Right.
Well, that goes beyond. You don't necessarily have to be nice to your neighbors to not commit a crime, but it sounds like Mr. Stakowitz has gone beyond not just committing a crime, but also making a contribution to his community. So at best, it's not written into law that you need to make amends, like a restorative justice type of approach, where you try to give back to the community. That's ideal, but not mandated. It's just, are you not causing harm to other people? Public safety, that's the thing. Are people not committing crimes against another individual?
So assuming we are not going to get another case that's exactly like this, how might the decision in this case affect somebody who is, say, out on parole or maybe gets out of prison for some other reason, escaping or not, and spends less than 48 years out, doesn't have the time to be nice to their neighbors, doesn't have the time to prove they've been rehabilitated?
I think we can start to look at they would set a precedent where we can start to look at gray areas. We're looking at, often look at things in black and white. Either we send people to prison or we let them go free. But there are options in between where people can be diverted from going into the criminal justice system, into a program. There could be house arrest, day programming, anything that they're under some kind of supervision, but not prisons. I've worked in a prison for 15 years, and it's not a pleasant place. And I do want to say that it is an issue between Mr. Stakowitz and the state of Georgia, but there's other people involved. And if you're sending a person that's seriously ill into a prison system, that's going to affect the staff, too, because a lot of prisons in America do not have the specialized kind of services that you need for a person in Mr. Stakowitz's condition. So it's affecting other people. It's affecting other people like the families that might have been affected by the crime.
By the original armed robbery and home invasion. So,
that's the thing. And can we take care of those individuals if they're alive and or have family members just so that they're not re-traumatized by whatever the outcome of this is? How can we find a fair outcome for this?
So before we have about a couple minutes left, and before you go, I wanted to make sure I asked about the sentencing and the harshness of the sentencing, which can't be revisited, I don't think. But I wonder to what extent does somebody now, a judge going back saying, you know, for him being the driver in this and not involved in the actual home invasion, maybe his sentence was too harsh in the beginning. Can they include that in their decision whether or not to send him back to prison or not?
I think the judge can take into account all the facts that speak to the case, and if there was to be a harsh sentence, if it was too harsh, they could reconsider it in terms of modern standards. Sure, I think it's definitely something that a judge could take into account.
So it sounds like the judge actually in the end has a lot of latitude, and then once the judge in Connecticut decides that, it's the board in Georgia that makes the final decision?
Yes, it sounds like by the what is specified by the parole board that is something. And so other states are doing innovations in which the decisions are, such as the state of Vermont, they're trying to pass a law where it's actually the courts that make that decision whether
yeah.
someone's eligible for release. That makes sense to me because a lot of the courts, they started the mess with these stricter sentencing policies that Georgia and other states are inside of corrections are now dealing with it. So if judges begin to think about that's where the change started, where these stricter sentences.
Oh, send it back to the judges in the first place. Tina Massey is a professor at Fordham University's School of Social Service. Tina, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's our show for today, but let's get your opinion on this because it's nuanced. Is the purpose of prison to rehabilitate someone or to punish them? Or both. Call us at 404-500-9457. We're on Twitter at OST Talk. We're also on Facebook, so reach out to us. For today, that is On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headlee. Have a great day.